Blessed are the flexible. Nothing wrong with an a cappella song. Sometimes those are pretty meaningful. You sing a song without the music. Makes a difference on some of them. So I'm not going to talk about the pumpkin. You know, you cut the top off, you take out all the bad stuff, you know, put the light in it. You all know that part. So told Brady he had missed so much, I was going to make him set through a whole book of the Bible today. So, and an Old Testament book at that. So, but now we're going to talk about the brotherly love. You know, been around the kids this weekend. You see the grandkids, you know, they don't always get along together. There's a few fussing and fighting going on, and other times, and they're playing wonderfully, you know. They're sharing stuff, they're best buds, and until something happens, and then they're hitting each other again, and screaming and hollering, so it goes back and forth. They get along, then they don't get along, and we're going to see a story about brothers, and the path they choose, and how it affects their relationship, and their relationship with God. So, it honestly is one whole book of the Bible. And maybe it's one you don't read very often or don't look at, but I will say it's the smallest book in the Old Testament, so I'm not going to keep here all day. But we're going to look at Obadiah. And Obadiah means servant of God or worshiper of God. Everybody hear me okay? No? How about now? Hello, is this better?
No.
Lift a little higher. How's this? Better? How about now? Can you hear me? I can talk louder. Roseanne, can you hear me back there? You think so? It's the candy corn drowning me out a little bit. My oldest granddaughter is on me a couple of weeks and I had to wear that, so that's as Halloween-y as I get right there. So candy corn tie. But Obadiah, there's only one chapter, 21 verses. We're going to look at all of it. We're going to take it in a little bit of sections, but Obadiah, a little bit of background. Again, servant of God, worshiper of God. And he's talking. I'm going to talk about Edom. You've heard of Jacob and Esau before. You kind of know that story, I'm sure. But Edom is another name for Esau. Seir is another name. Petra was the capital. You can visit Petra today. It's a lot of rocks. And you can visit that. It was the capital. Another name was Sela. Another name was Teman. It was a city in the northern part of the country. Bozrah was a southern city. Edom also means red, because a lot of the mountains, the rocks that are there, have a reddish color to them. Also, Esau was known as red. I just picture Esau. You know, Esau was the hunter, the big hairy guy, you know. I just picture him as a redhead, and you know, you see some of these cartoons or stories where you got the big Irish redheaded guy. That's what I picture Esau looking like. I'm sure he didn't, but that's in my mind. So Esau was also red. Mount Seir is on the eastern side. It has a limestone ridge about 1,000 feet high above sea level, and it separates Edom and the Arabian Desert. As you go farther north, it gets as much as 5,000 feet above sea level. The entire area is about 100 miles long, but only about 20 miles wide. So it's not a huge area. But they do have vineyards, they do have wells, they have copper and iron. So they're not huge, but they're very full of themselves. That was Edom's problem. They thought Petra was impregnable. Nobody could get to them. You know, we're up high. Nobody can get to us. And that was partly true. The only approach was through a deep cleft in the mountains, and it was about a mile long to get up through there, very narrow. And on each side was about 700 feet of cliffs. So whoever tried got rocks thrown on them. So they didn't try very often, I don't think, because it was hard to get up through there. Again, it's Isaac, you know, had Jacob and Esau. You know, a little bit about the story, and I go through all of it. You know, you know, Esau traded his birthright. He traded it for lentil soup. So he sold out for soup. You know, sometimes we can sell our birthright, you know, our knowledge of God. We sell it out for worldly things, for material things. Sometimes they're just more important to some people, the worldly things, the things we have, versus the spiritual things we know. Esau still wanted the special blessing of the father, though. You know, he still wanted that. But through his choice, he lost it. You know, he chose to give that up. Jacob wanted it. He wanted it bad, and he got it. Although his methods weren't maybe the best to use to get him, he received the blessing. Of course, we know Esau became jealous and wanted to kill Jacob, and he ran off, and some years passed. But, you know, we're going to find, you know, the children and their attitudes with one another, you know. We're going to see it remained even though Jacob and Esau did reconcile a little bit years later. You'll know Jacob came back with his families and everything, and they did reconcile a little bit. But obviously the attitude, the anger, the jealousy, the hatred was handed down from generation to generation, as we'll see. You know, it got down to where during the Exodus, you know, when Israel wanted to cross Edom on the way to Canaan, you know, and they said, look, we just want to cross right here. It's the straight line. It's the closest. They said, we won't eat anything. We won't even drink your water. Just let us pass. And Edom says, no. And God knew they weren't ready for a battle right then. So God had them go around. They took the long way around Edom on the way to Canaan. So Edom was at odds with God's people. You know, it's brother versus brother sometimes. And you know, sometimes those things, you got to take a stand. You can perpetuate them. You can keep it going down the line, or you can choose to end it. They chose to perpetuate it down the line. Just keep on and just keep saying it. Keep passing the stories down. Keep the anger, the bitterness there. So we're going to read Obadiah. Again, it's only one chapter. But the first couple of verses says the vision of Obadiah. It says, this is what the sovereign Lord says about Edom. So this is the Lord talking. This is Obadiah's prophecy about Edom. We have heard a message from the Lord. An envoy was sent to the nations to say, rise, let us go to battle for her. See, I will make you small among the nations. You will be utterly despised. So again, this is what the Lord says, not what Obadiah is saying. This is what the Lord says about Edom. It doesn't matter what you think about them or how you feel about, or how they feel about themselves. You know, Edom was proud. They were self-sufficient. They felt safe from any attacks and happy with who they were. But God says, I'm going to put you in your place. He says, you think you're pretty big stuff. I'll make you small. We're going to read 3 through 9. It's kind of the next section here. And it goes on, again, this is God. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the cleft of the rocks, and make your home on the heights, you who say to yourself, who can bring me down to the ground? Though you soar like the eagle and make your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. If thieves came to you, if robbers in the night, oh, what a disaster awaits you. Would they not steal only as much as they wanted? If grape pickers came to you, would they not leave a few grapes? But how Esau will be ransacked, his hidden treasures pillaged. All your allies will force you to the border. Your friends will deceive and overpower you. Those who eat your bread will set a trap for you, but you will not detect it. In that day, declares the Lord, will I not destroy the wise men of Edom, those of understanding in the mountains of Esau? Your warriors, Teman, will be terrified, and everyone in Esau's mountains will be cut down in the slaughter. So, you know, I think, well, why was God so upset with them? Well, it boils down to the thing he gets upset with us, sin. is sin. He's upset with it. He starts out, he said, the pride of your heart. The pride of your heart says it's deceived you. You know, we get so caught up in ourselves that what we think about ourselves and even what we think about others isn't even true. We're just focused on ourselves. Our heart, we've deceived ourselves. Our hearts are deceived. Our thinking is distorted by feeling. You know, we let feelings rule instead of the truth around us. We let feelings rule instead of God. You know, feelings can be an enemy sometimes. You know, we let them rule and we do what we want. And they didn't have the Holy Spirit yet here, but we do. And sometimes we just, it's like we kick him to the curb because we've already got our minds made up. Our feelings are what rules us. Says you have pride in your dwelling place. He said, you nest among the stars and soar like an eagle. Who can bring me down? The Lord says, from there, I will bring you down. He says, you don't get it. You know, he says, if thieves and robbers steal from you, they're not going to take everything. They're going to take what they want and leave some items behind. You know, they're just going to take part of it. He says, don't take so much pride in your hidden treasures. Don't take pride in the things you have, that you treasure, the material things, those things that aren't spiritual. They're not going to matter. He says, you're not going to have anything left when I get finished. They're going to be gone. He says, don't take pride in your friends or your alliances. He says, your allies are going to turn on you and force you to the border. Friends will deceive you and overpower you. He says, you won't see it coming. You know, it's not who you know. It doesn't matter. It's not, you know, it's going to be people, he says, you break bread, you eat with. You know, that's what's going to come upon them. They're not real. Their relationships aren't real. So don't take pride in your friends, so-called friends. And so-called alliances, those people you think are with you. It says, don't take pride in your intelligence. Well, Eliphaz was a wise person, at least according to the world. If you know who he was, one of the wise men, the wise friends that counseled Job. I'm not sure how wise his counsel was. It was more worldly than spiritual. And Eliphaz was from Teman in Edom. Again, they were known for wise men. Some of the times they said wise men from the east. That's where they were coming from. It's from the Edom territory. God says, I'll destroy them. It says, don't take pride in your military strength. So I'm sure they thought, again, they were impregnable. Nobody could get there. And what they had. He says, you know, your warriors, they're going to be terrified. He says, everyone on Esau's mountains will be cut down in the slaughter. They're not going to be there. So pride of their heart, pride of everything, where they lived, who they were, how smart they thought they were, the military strength, the things, the possessions that they had. You know, he says, they're not going to amount to anything. If that wasn't enough, we get to some other reasons here in verses 10 through 16. As we read those verses, it says, because of the violence against your brother Jacob, you will be covered with shame. You will be destroyed forever. On the day you stood aloof while strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots in for Jerusalem, and you were like one of them. You should not gloat over your brother in the day of his misfortune, nor rejoice over the people of Judah in their day of destruction, nor boast so much in the day of their trouble. You should not march through the gates of my people in the day of their disaster, nor gloat over them in their calamity in the day of their disaster, nor seize their wealth in the day of their disaster. You should not wait at the crossroads to cut down their fugitives, nor hand over their survivors in the day of their trouble. The day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done it, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head. Just as you drank on my holy hill, so all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and drink and be as if they had never been. They said the other reason is because of lack of love. You didn't love your brother. It would just come up in Sunday school. It comes up almost every week. You know, the rules. You know, they say the grandkids know the rules. You know, there's no hitting, biting, kicking, pinching, and crying, you know, at Paul's house. Those are the rules. I have to remind them sometimes, but those are the rules. God's rule is to love God and love others. It's pretty simple. You're just two. You don't have to worry about the others if you get those two down. So just two. Love God, love others. But he's... but he means it. And I think especially in brothers and sisters in Christ, let alone all people. I think God said, you know, he was in the verge of correcting Israel. You know, he corrects all of us. We all get chastised by God for things we do. He's in the middle of correcting Israel. And Edom took advantage. You know, sin develops and grows over time. Most time doesn't start big, it starts small. Said at first, when things looked bad and things happened to Israel, Edom just did nothing. They just stood on the sideline. They stood and watched. When Israel was attacked or caught by the enemy, they just stood there. They just noted what was happening. But then they got a little more bolder. Then they began rejoicing, boasting, and gloating in the downfall and troubles of Israel. You know, they were happy about it. Probably saying, oh, they're finally getting what they deserved. You know, they needed that to happen to them. You know, we don't like them anyway. They enjoyed seeing a brother down. Then they got bold enough to even join in. You know, when the participation starts, it gets pretty serious. It says, and they helped the enemy plunder what Israel had. So they became no worse than the enemy Israel had. They became part of the enemy. They just poured it on. You know, got a brother down, you pour it on. Just to add to the disaster, whatever it was they were going through. Then finally, they worked to cut off their escape, killing or handing over survivors to the enemy. And we know Edom, at one point, joined Babylon in the slaughter and plunder of Israel. They were part of that group. Again, it says, the day of the Lord is near. God's saying, your day's coming. You know, as you have done it, it will be done to you. You know, what you wish on others and do to others, it'll come back. It'll return. You reap what you sow. It is biblical. It says all the evil you do or enjoy someone else that they're in will come back on you. He says drink the cup. Drink the cup of God's wrath and be as they have never been. You know, basically enjoy what you think is a great time now, who you think you are now, because it's coming to an end. The Lord's going to end it. It'll be soon. Now we need to treat God's people as you would treat God, because he's represented in them. You know, God is a just God. You know, he gives people what they deserve, not what we think they deserve, not what we think we deserve. He's got it right. He gives them exactly what they deserve, and us too. If we give mercy, we'll receive it. If we curse others, we'll be cursed. And if we bless others, we'll be blessed. So it's up to us. You know, Edom was taken by the, and I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Nabataeans. So that country was overtaken. They were gone. As far as a country, in Jesus' day, they were known as Idumeans. Those that were left. Also in Jesus' time, King Herod was an Idumean person. I think it's ironic, come across that just before, you know, the destruction in AD 70, just before that happened, for some reason they admitted 20,000 Idumeans into Jerusalem. And there was a lot of robbery, a lot of bloodshed when they did that. All of that increased. It just reminded me of a border wall. You know, a lot of people come in, crime increased, a lot of bad things happen when sometimes you let a lot of bad people in. You created a problem. But it increased. But Edom was eventually, what's known as the Edom people, was crushed by Rome in the AD 70 when they took over Israel as well. Well, and they disappeared as a people basically at that time. Well, what about Israel? You know, we've been talking about Edom, the Esau side, and he finally gets down to Israel. Here's the difference. But, starting with 17 through the end of the chapter, but on Mount Zion will be delivered. It will be holy, and Jacob will possess his inheritance. Jacob will be a fire, Joseph a flame. Esau will be a stubble, and they will set him on fire and destroy him. There will be no survivors from Esau. The Lord has spoken. People from the Negev will occupy the mountains of Esau, and people from the foothills will possess the land of the Philistines. They will occupy the fields of Ephraim and Samaria, and Benjamin will possess Gilead. This company of Israel exiles who are in Canaan will possess the land as far as Zarephath. The exiles from Jerusalem who are in Sepharad will possess the towns of the Negev. Deliverers will go up on Mount Zion to govern the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom will be the Lord's. So Esau, or Israel, will be delivered on Mount Zion, and all the land promised to them originally will be theirs. You know, the promised land that they were originally to take includes what we know today as Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, or at least parts of these places, Egypt, Iraq, and Saudi Arabia. So there's a big chunk that belongs to them that they don't have. Whether they have it in this lifetime or in, after the Lord comes back, they will get it. It just may be after the Battle of Armageddon when they get it. But they've never possessed all of it that God wanted them to have. David and Solomon came the closest. They had the largest area. But the bottom line is the kingdom will be the Lord's. It's his. So we're going to have an invitation in a minute. And I think we just need to remember those who are obedient believers, you know, can have it all. And we should love others as God would have us to love them. Galatians 6, 1 through 10. I want to finish with that passage. Galatians 6, 1 through 10. It says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. They can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the Word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. For whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So don't get too high on yourself. Don't be high and mighty. Don't think you're in and of yourself strong. He can't use you that way. Got to be weak. Don't think you're smarter than you are. There's always going to be somebody else a little more intelligent. There's always going to be God that needs to give you the wisdom you need. It's not who you know. It's all up to you. It doesn't matter who you know, who they are. It's all about you. Nobody else. Material things aren't going anywhere. He gives us some of those things to experience here, but they're to use while we're here, and most of it to use for our pleasure, but His purposes. So just love God and love others. I mean, it's simple rules. It's simple rules, but we just need to show our experience to others. We need to love them enough to tell them about God, love them enough to treat them right, love them enough to help them in times of trouble, not to pile on, not to wish bad things on others. I'm sure they felt they were done dirty by Jacob, but it doesn't matter. That's not our job. You know, our job isn't to retaliate. That's God's job. He's just said He's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of Edom. They're going to pay for the things they've done, because they've really done them against God, not against Jacob. So, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we just ask Your Spirit to bring it fully to us, Lord, to actually just open it up, and just let it come to life in our hearts, our minds, just deeply in our souls, Father, that the Spirit could make it alive to each one of us. Just show us how it works in our life, how we apply it, how we use it, how we go about it. It takes Your wisdom and the Spirit to teach us, and we ask for that today. Lord, help us to be just about us, Lord. Help us to be helpful to others. Help us to love others, and help us to love You. Lord, forgive us when we fail. Forgive us when we sit by the side, we don't do anything. Forgive us when we pile on and think such bad things about others, especially in the body of believers. Just help us to be who You would have us to be, Lord. Just again, just show it. Just break our hearts to be something You can put back together in the right manner. Lord, we just ask Your Spirit to just fill us today. Fill us with His presence, with Your presence. Just guide and direct us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please join with me, stand and join with me in singing 507, Something Beautiful.